from deep inside your radio.
Tone sounding good. Ladies and gentlemen, looking ahead, Karl Rove, President Bush is now former, now almost former, political advisor extraordinaire on his way out the door at the end of the month, was doing a tour of the Sunday morning yak shows, stressing the forward-looking nature of the Republican Party, optimistic, forward-looking nature. So let's look forward. Yucca Mountain, our proposed only national repository for nuclear waste storage, will be designed to send a message to the centuries. According to the U.S. Department of Energy, looking forward, a series of 25-foot tall monuments will ring the perimeter of the installation and also near the top of the mountain. Warning messages in the 6 official languages. Now, this, just give you the time frame here. This is to preserve the safety and security of an installation that will be holding highly radioactive substances for the next at least 10,000 years. 10,000 years. So warning messages will be written on the monuments in the 6 official languages of the United Nations: Arabic, Chinese, English, French, Russian, and Spanish. Because there won't be new languages in the next 10,000 years. Why would that happen? The markers may also contain sign language symbol warnings used by the deaf. Well, they'll still be here. Linguists suggest a unique international symbol be developed to symbolize a nuclear waste depository. Well, we can all agree on that quickly. The warnings will be placed about 40 inches off the ground to prolong legibility, according to the Energy Department. I guess our government's experts in legibility. These monuments must endure the rigors of the desert, wind-blown sand that creates desert varnish over time, or a darkening on the surfaces. The markers at the depository warning people off are envisioned as 6-sided cones jutting upward at varying angles. Planners want them to look unusual, so people thousands of years hence won't mistake them for memorials. They'll mistake them for attractive nuisances, judging from the way they sound. In addition to the large markers, plans call for 9-inch warning markers to be secured to the desert surface. Secured to the desert surface, ladies and gentlemen. Those words will be our memorial. Each marker will display the international symbol of radiation, as well known to future generations as the international symbol of hello in Egyptian hieroglyphics. Military defense managers at Huntsville, Alabama, meanwhile, are concerned that old equipment and outdated software could cause NATO and American forces to, involved in the missile defense program, to shoot at each other, possibly leading, well, if you possibly, according to this article, but if they shoot at each other, I would say definitely leading to friendly fire incidents. That would be my guess. Missile defense program managers are concerned that the equipment such as air defense radar and missiles are not compatible in an age when NATO members want weapon systems to pass accurate information on both friendly and enemy troops, says the director of the Space Missile Command Tech Center in Huntsville. Is there a pattern here? Wasn't this what we were supposed to be doing in Homeland Security that we haven't done yet? Have the communication systems talk to each other? Now it appears that air defense radar between NATO and the United States don't talk to each other well. We need to learn to talk to each other. Missile and air defense systems use X-band radar, and we have fighter aircraft that use X-band radar. There is a concern about false signals, but a true danger of friendly fire or fratricide, says the director of the technical center. Because military weapons are built by different contractors, used by different nations, and have different software and hardware combinations, he adds, they don't work well together. Unquote. Won't you join our coalition? It's fun. He also added, we face problems with varying standards based on different cultures and politics. I say go it alone. Maybe this sums everything up. In news from inspectors general, The U.S. government is on a, quote, burning platform, unquote, of unsustainable policies and practices with fiscal deficits, chronic health care underfunding, immigration and overseas military commitments, threatening a crisis if action is not taken soon, says the United States' top inspector general. Actually, he's comptroller general of the U.S., but he functions in the same way. David Walker issued the unusually downbeat assessment of his country's future in a report, according to the Financial Times, that lays out what he calls, quote, chilling long-term simulations. These include dramatic tax rises, slashed government services, and the large-scale dumping by foreign governments of their holdings of U.S. debt. Why would they do that? Our debt instruments are based on subprime mortgages. Drawing parallels with the end of the Roman Empire, Walker warned there were striking similarities between America's current situation and the factors that brought down Rome, including, quote, declining moral values and political civility at home, and overconfident and overextended military and foreign lands, and fiscal irresponsibility by the central government. He says, in my view, it's time to learn from history and take steps to ensure the American Republic is the first to stand the test of time. He is in charge of the Government Accountability Office, the investigative arm of the U.S. Congress. And his words will be securely attached to the desert as well. Hello, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
From the edge of America, from the home of the homeless, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of the show. Some useful metrics on the new Iraq. This according to Lieutenant General Raymond Odierno, not Odorono, Odierno, our second in command, and by our, I mean our, in Iraq. He says, according to Middle East Times, 73% of attacks that inflicted casualties on U.S. forces in Baghdad last month were carried out by Shiites. That's double the percentage caused by Shiite attacks 6 months earlier. I'm bewildered by what that means, too. I mean, we've been reporting that some Sunni insurgents have turned to make common cause with the government against so-called al-Qaeda in Mesopotamia because they don't like the beheadings and the stuff. So we've increased the percentage of attacks on us by Shiites by reducing the attacks on us by Sunnis. Other metrics from Anthony Cordesman, a Pentagon official in the Reagan administration who just wrote a 25-page report on his latest trip to Baghdad. A secure withdrawal from Iraq that includes all U.S. supplies and equipment that's there now and that phases out the U.S. bases in Iraq would take at least 9 to 12 months and probably much longer to get out. Many military experts think 2 years would be a rapid but deliberate pace. Rapid but deliberate. I am walking at a rapid, deliberate pace. Am I fast or slow? You tell me. Such an effort would include transferring or destroying facilities and stocks that could fuel a civil war. Well, why would we do that suddenly after all this time? You mean like 190,000 AK-47s that went wandering off? As well as deciding the fate of the more than $20 billion in aid projects and of the gigantic U.S. embassy, still under construction as we speak. According to Cordesman, U.S. intelligence in Iraq says al-Qaeda and its Sunni affiliates make up no more than 15% of the overall insurgency. Detainees held by U.S. forces, primarily Sunnis, now number more than 18,000. There will be 30,000 by the end of the year. Detainees. So stock up on powdered food, I guess, is the advice for future detainees. There have been major improvements in handling detainees, he said. The result is that Sunnis, in effect, are warehoused and Shiites are often freed, with prisons still serving as, quote, de facto training centers for hardliners, unquote. Well, they're learning something. Cordesman says unemployment or underemployment affects almost 50% of the Iraqi population. Iraq, he says, is far from being oil wealthy. In 1980, Iraq oil exports earned the equivalent of $55 billion in U.S. dollars. Only $24 billion last year, down to $22 billion this year, a decline of more than 50%. Over the same period, Iraq's population has grown by 63%. Looks good. Looking good. And now, ladies and gentlemen, no deliberate segue implied, the apologies of the week. No thematic connection. Don't you do that. Deadline Beijing. A Chinese court has sentenced a television reporter to 1 year in prison. Oh, man. No, I don't envy them. After he confessed to fabricating a story claiming that a stall in Beijing had used cardboard as a substitute for pork in steamed buns. He was found guilty of, quote, infringing commodity reputation. It's a good charge. Xi Bijia admitted he had prepared the cardboard-based filling for the buns before making the program, which was aired by China Central Television. He made the program, said the court, quote, for pursuing career achievements. Attention, Anderson Cooper. But had severely ruined the reputation of the relevant commodity. Xi pleaded guilty, apologized for his behavior, and said he was muddle-headed when he made the program. Attention, Anderson Cooper. Dateline Scandiatolis, New York. An Episcopal priest in the Diocese of Central New York has been suspended from his duties for the next 20 years. He admitted in a written statement to sexually abusing 4 underage boys while serving as a rector. Wrecked him, I guess. The bishop says the church has a zero-tolerance policy when it comes to issues of misconduct. So, the priest, J. Edward Putnam, is suspended for 20 years. That's zero tolerance. He's admitted to sexually abusing the boys from early 1985 to mid-1993. The bishop has apologized to the victims, their families, and the entire congregation. Wall Street investment bank Goldman Sachs incorrectly said Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney was an investor in its troubled multi-billion dollar global equity hedge fund. I misspoke, and I apologize for that, said Goldman Media Relations Director Peter Rose. He ain't getting into the Hall of Fame either. Dateline Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. A Malaysian Chinese student publicly apologized for posting a racially provocative rap video of the Malaysian national anthem on YouTube that enraged ethnic Malays. Wee Meng Chi came under fire for mocking the national anthem and highlighting ethnic differences in his rap video, which sparked a flood of criticism, but expressions of support from the ethnic Chinese community. Quote, it has taught me a lesson about the spirit of nationalism and race relations. As a Malaysian, I did not intend to shame the country of ridicule or ridicule any religion, Wee was quoted as saying. I am proud to be a Malaysian, and my loyalty to my country has not wavered, even though I'm now studying in Taiwan. He's sorry. The CEO of Mattel insisted this week that his company has rigorous standards and apologized as Mattel was forced to recall millions of toys for the second time in 2 weeks. The toys were manufactured in China. Well, you know about the recall. We are concerned, says Mattel chief executive Bob Eckert. I'm disappointed. I'm upset, but I can assure you we're doing everything we can about the situation. He's sorry. Dateline Sedalia. I don't know what state that's in, so. Dateline New York, former NBA referee Tim Donaghy apologized for being involved in a betting scandal. He surrendered to authorities Wednesday and pleaded guilty to charges connected to wagering on games he officiated. I'm very sorry about what happened, he told the New York Daily News. I'm not going to say anything beyond that. This is an ongoing case. I can't say anything else. He admitted using special codes to communicate with his cronies. I received cash payments to pick the outcome of successful games, he admitted. Dateline Washington, a former Capitol Hill aide, received probation and a fine but no jail time after a federal judge credited him with helping convict a congressman in the Jack Abramoff scandal. William Heaton let FBI agents record his telephone calls and tape a 2.5-hour meeting with his boss, Representative Bob Ney, Republican of Ohio. He leaked documents and worked late into the night and on weekends to avoid arousing suspicion that he was cooperating with the feds. Federal prosecutors recommended Heaton serve house arrest, but U.S. District Judge Ellen Siegel Huvel ordered him to serve 2 years probation and pay a $5,000 fine. She would have not been so lenient had Heaton's cooperation not been so exceptional. Quote, people don't generally walk around congressmen wearing a wire, she noted. Maybe they should. Heaton apologized several times in court. He said he was ashamed that he did not have the courage to stand up to Ney, who was trading political access for campaign donations, trips, and expensive gifts. Dateline Papua New Guinea. Descendants of a tribe in this South Pacific nation have apologized for the killing and eating of 4 Fijian missionaries in 1878. Fiji's High Commissioner in the country, Ratu Isoa Tikoka, accepted the apology, saying, we at this juncture are deeply touched and wish you the greatest joy of forgiveness as we finally end this disagreement. The apology was made at a reconciliation ceremony in Papua New Guinea in front of thousands of people. Tribesmen killed and ate a Fijian minister and 3 teachers in 1878. The Lackawanna, New York County Prison Board publicly apologized this week to a woman who gave birth in a prison cell, saying the nurse who treated her failed to properly monitor her labor and unnecessarily delayed taking her to the hospital. The unnamed nurse committed serious errors of judgment, says County Judge Vito Garoulo. He called the care inadequate and unacceptable. Inexpensive internet telephone provider Skype hopes to have service restored to millions of customers who were shut out by a software problem that prevented them from logging into their accounts. Skype officials said this blackout was caused by a software problem. Oh, that's okay then, and apologized on the company website for the inconvenience. More than 1,200 years ago, hordes of bloodthirsty Viking raiders descended on Ireland, pillaging monasteries and massacring the inhabitants. This week, one of their mild-mannered descendants stepped ashore to apologize. According to the Guardian newspaper in London, the Danish culture minister, Brian Mikkelsen, who was in Dublin to participate in celebrations marking the arrival of a replica Norse longboat, apologized for the Viking invasion and destruction inflicted. Quote, "In Denmark, we are certainly proud of this ship, but we are not proud of the damages to the people of Ireland that followed in the footsteps of the Vikings. But the warmth and friendliness with which you greet us today in the Viking ship show us that, luckily, it has all been forgiven." And finally, Dateline Hong Kong. A longtime manufacturer known as China's Sesame Street Toy King became a casualty in the ongoing widening trade dispute between the United States and China regarding unsafe Chinese exports when he hanged himself last week. Chung Shu-hung committed suicide at his company in Foshan City in southern China after Mattel started recalling toys. Shortly before he hanged himself, Chung went to his company and apologized to some of his workers for the possible closure of the plant. A worker named Chong said Chung was a good boss. Quote, "He sent us mooncakes during the Mid-Autumn Festival." That's a good boss. I want to say right here and now, nobody I've ever worked for has ever sent me a mooncake. And I'm ticked. I'm serious. The Apologies of the Week, ladies and gentlemen. Send me mooncakes. The Apologies of the Week, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. I've received a series of emails, actually began an email conversation, from a listener who seems to feel that I have some sort of crazed animus against the nation of Pakistan, because I continue to point out that if you look at the three criteria the United States cited for going into Iraq, possession of weapons of mass destruction, having invaded its neighbor, and harboring terrorists and terrorist sympathizers, Iraq was arguably 1 for 3. Pakistan is 3 for 3. This just in, the Pakistani government gave substantial military support to the Taliban in the years leading up to 9/11, sending arms and soldiers to fight alongside the Taliban, according to newly released U.S. official documents. Islamabad, the capital of Pakistan, has acknowledged diplomatic and economic links with the Taliban, but has denied ever giving direct military support. The U.S. intelligence and State Department documents released under our Freedom of Information Act, we got to get rid of that. That is so pesky. Show Washington did not believe Pakistan's denials of military support for the Taliban. Suspicion lingers that some elements of Pakistani intelligence are still protecting Taliban and its al-Qaeda allies in those pesky tribal areas along the border. Among the documents released is a confidential memo sent in November 1996, an intelligence report to the Defense Intelligence Agency in Washington, describing how the paramilitary Frontier Corps of Pakistan was operating across the border. The Frontier Corps are commanded by officers from the regular Pakistani army. Says a State Department briefing paper, quote, "For Pakistan, a Taliban-based government in Kabul would be as good as it can get in Afghanistan." Unquote. No, I'm not. I'm no animus. Nice people doing nice things. I was going to explain that quote, but I'll leave it for a later day. But it is a quote. The Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA. F is its code name in my files. It has now changed the insurance requirements that local governments and nonprofits must meet to be eligible for public assistance in times of disaster. Hospitals, schools, and county governments are on the hook for millions of dollars should another storm strike New Orleans, for example. The changes from FEMA set much higher requirements for insurance coverage and leave governments and nonprofits solely responsible for paying their own deductibles. FEMA used to pay the deductibles. In some cases, they now cost tens of millions of dollars and could leave nonprofits, and government, local governments financially vulnerable in the wake of a disaster. The regulatory changes were discovered by a New Orleans insurance agent. Louisiana State Insurance Commissioner has written to President Bush trying to get the new insurance requirements waived. But FEMA, so far, stands strong. Among the facilities affected, museums, libraries, universities, schools, fire stations, police stations, sanitation districts, animal rescue facilities. The change says a spokesperson for the governor's office in Louisiana. The change was not well known until it was discovered by a New Orleans insurance official, ladies and gentlemen. F is for FEMA. And news of the digital wonderland. You know it's only about 18 months away till your analog TV becomes basically a big fat coaster. A big fat coffee table. Lawmakers are complaining not enough people are aware their analog TVs won't pick up over-the-air signals after February 17th of 2009. A collection of interest groups is now telling the FCC it's neglected to act critical ethical standards for the use of the new digital spectrum. The Benton Foundation's complaint deals with multicasting. That's where, as I've been telling you, these many years, your local television station won't necessarily spend all of its new digital spectrum on that nice, fine, beautiful high-def channel, which would take up almost all of the space. They may slice and dice it up into as many as six different channels, some of them really crappy-looking, if you judge by the ones I've been seeing. Multicast. Some are already putting just sort of static weather maps on one of those channels. The Benton Foundation says the FCC neglected to extend its mandate for the use of public airwaves in the public interest, which is part of the Basic Communications Act, despite what you see, to those multicast channels. In other words, the main channel is still covered by the requirement that it broadcast in the public interest, despite what you see, but the new extra channels aren't yet. Any wonder broadcasters love the digital wonderland.
When I was young, I was told, try to be just as good as gold. Fly right, child, and walk that line. Keep it straight and you'll be just fine.
Well, you don't have to worry about a thing I do, but you're the kind of trouble that I could get into.
People say you can't be tamed. You're in the Heartbreakers Hall of Fame. Got them all standing in line. Yeah, I can read your warning sign. It's a danger zone that I'm traveling through. You're the kind of trouble that I could get into. You're the kind of trouble that's hard to resist. I hate to think about all the fun I've missed. I have the rumors and I hope they're true. You're the kind of trouble I could get into.
Don't drink much, never smoke. Ain't too many rules that I broke.
Keep to myself, lead a real quiet life. Don't stay out late at night. They say I ain't a wild one. But if they only knew, you're the kind of trouble that I could get into. You're the kind of trouble that I could get into.
trouble.
Yeah, feeling kind of country here at Le Show. This week, President Bush's political advisor, man he's called variously Boy Genius, the architect of his 2004 victory, or more saltily, Turd Blossom, which is a Texanism for a flower that grows out of cattle dung. Karl Rove, the gentleman in question, announced he's leaving at the end of the month, going back to Texas, where the whole thing started. But don't hold it against Texas. Really? Really? Why would you want to do that? Anyway, the announcement set off waves of speculation about what it means, what Rove's going to do. He's announced he's not going to necessarily be performing the same services for any candidate in the 2008 election, although he's spoken well of some of them on his tour of the Sunday Yak shows. But his services will no longer be available for the last 18 months of the president as Karl Rove heads back home.
Well, they call me the architect. They call me Bush's brain. 2 times we went campaigning, 2 times we had champagne. I helped to build his legend, he helped to build my myth. Wanna spend more time with family, just need time to find the family to spend it with. Oh, the Turd Blossom Special is taking me home, never more to roam, till I got a book that I have to promote, or a special campaign to help black people vote. I'm as free as a bird, won't be deterred. I'm on the Turd Blossom special. Till I can buy me a boat. Oh, I sliced and diced the voters like pigs on a spit. Any issue that divided was the one we'd really hit. Oh, I would gerrymander for the commander-in-chief. He was the decider and the believer. I was the decisions and the belief. Oh, the Turd Blossom Special is taking me home, where I won't need a comb, till I meet that special candidate that I can advise and email him encrypted, 'cause that would be wise. I won't breathe the word, lest the deal be disinterred. I'm on the Turd Blossom special. In my civilian guise. Oh, he called me Turd Blossom, that's what he liked to do. I called him the boss, and that amused him too. We built a majority that would last for years to come, but the war refused to end, and the man who was the boss soon became the bum. Oh, the Turd Blossom Special is taking me home, where the cars drip with chrome, till I got a book that I have to promote, or a big campaign to help some black people vote. Don't be unduly stirred by the boldness of the word. I'm on the Turd Blossom special. Till I can buy me a boat. Till I can buy me a boat. Till I can buy me a boat.
I took the road from Candlecrae to the Western Isles, down into Conway Bay. I took the road through heathered hills, and put my arms around the land that would haunt me still. I took the road from Candlecrae to the Irish Sea, down to my mother's grave, I took the road through childhood times and put my arms around a girl who was always mine. And the bridges we burn, they make life so beautiful. They're the places we yearn for when we're so far away. Oh, those bridges we burn and make life so beautiful. The childhood, sunny days, rainy days. So I took the road from Kendalcrae to the Western Isles, down into Conway Bay. I took the road through Heather Hills, and at last ancient land, you own me still.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, news of the warm, won't you? It sounds counterintuitive, but burning oil and planting forests to compensate for the burning of oil is more environmentally friendly than burning biofuel. So say scientists, according to New Scientist magazine, who have calculated the difference in net emissions between using land to produce biofuel and the alternative, fueling cars with gasoline and then replanting forests on the land instead. They recommend governments steer away from biofuel and focus on reforestation and maximizing the efficiency of fossil fuels instead. The reason? Producing biofuel is not a green process. It requires tractors and fertilizers and land, all of which means burning fossil fuels to make green fuel. In the case of ethanol produced from corn, it's essentially a zero sums gain, says the program manager for Latin America at the International Energy Agency in France. In addition, environmentalists have expressed concerns that the growing political backing for biofuel will mean forests will be chopped down to make room for biofuel crops, which releases immediately 100 to 200 tons of carbon per hectare. This, however, might motivate people a little bit more. Scientists at the University of Hull in England are working on an improved treatment for a debilitating flesh-eating disease which appears to be on the rise due to global warming. I said flesh-eating disease on the rise due to global warming. Should the warming continue to proceed on the planet, the numbers of people suffering leishmaniasis, a flesh-eating and sometimes fatal disease, will increase dramatically, experts warn. Leishmaniasis is caused by a parasite transmitted by sandfly bites, usually found only in tropical climates. Rising temperatures will increase the number of countries the sandfly colonizes, moving further north and through Europe. Look out, Russia. Climate change has caused a decline in the number of birds migrating to parts of Scotland in the winter, according to a report by the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds. A sharp fall in numbers of Dunlin and Turnstone, of which there are internationally important populations in the Firth of Forth off Edinburgh. The birds are traditionally attracted by the relatively mild winters. They're no longer forced to fly as far as Scotland to find suitable conditions. And the Bush administration has consistently thwarted efforts by the World Bank to include global warming in its calculations when considering whether to approve major investments, according to documents made public through a watchdog this week, published in the British press. On one occasion, the White House's point man at the bank, the now departed Paul Wolfowitz, personally intervened to remove the words climate change from the title of a bank progress report and ordered changes to the text to shift the focus away from global warming. Although this was happening even before Wolfowitz was president of the bank, environmental specialists at the bank tried unsuccessfully to press for consideration of greenhouse gas emissions in a paper written but never published in 2002. According to one senior bank insider talking to the L.A. Dog Trainer, politics prevented the publication of that paper, and politics has been the principal obstacle to the bank concentrating on consequences of warming ever since. News of the warm, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. So, yes, President Bush will now be bereft of the services of his boy genius, Karl Rove. There are, of course, other things happening with the president. What little is going on in the Capitol right now is the huffing and puffing leading up to, in mid-September, the reports by General Petraeus and Ambassador Crocker on the progress of the SAGE. The L.A. Dog Trainer made news this week with a report that the Petraeus report will not be written by General Petraeus. It will be written by the White House. But, you know, it will include, they'll certainly read whatever he, you know. Anyway, that started a mild little flurry of attention. But perhaps the most attention will be paid in a phone conversation.
Relaxing Eagle.
Hey, 43. Last time we had with you last weekend.
Yeah, I thought I looked into Cozy Soul. You know, I like what I saw.
Cozy?
Mm-hmm.
Is that your nickname for the new French president?
He liked it.
Yeah.
You know his nickname for me?
He gave you a...
Boosh. He called me Boosh. Mm. This is a Frenchman I can do business with. Of course, I'm not in business.
And let's be honest, Sprout. You couldn't do business with Americans, so...
You know, 4-1, I'm not really in the mood for... I'm not really in the mood for anything. I'm here at Crawford just trying to get in the mood for something.
Problems at the ranch?
You do know Boy Genius resigned this week?
Yes, I know that Carl pulled the ripcord.
Uh-huh.
Surely you saw that coming. Sixth year, lame duck, low polls. He knows he's only going to get his Medal of Freedom after he leaves, so...
Earth to Earth Dad, of course I saw it coming, but I didn't think it was coming here. I didn't think it was coming for me. I mean, I thought Carl wanted his last chopper ride out of Washington, D.C. to be in my chopper with me.
Well, in a way, this liberates you, 43. You've got 18 months to prove that all those people who called him Bush's brain were wrong. Of course, don't think you want to start out that 18 months by leaking that you're writing the Petraeus report.
41, that wasn't our leak. You know whose leak it was. You used to run it.
Republican National Committee?
CIA.
Suppose that makes sense. The company's still a little sensitive about having to take the fall for the war.
Well, if they didn't want to take the blame for bad intelligence, see, they shouldn't have let us feed it to ourselves in the first place. Well, and that first place is so strong, you don't need a second place. Besides, who did people think was going to write the Petraeus report? The man's a general, for gosh sakes. He doesn't have time to sit down and put days into composing a 14, 15-page document.
Doesn't take days to do that.
It took me days back when
I
was...
Look, Sprout, it's August. People got nothing to talk about. Aside from the burp in the financial markets and the coal mine thing, nothing's going on. So they fill the papers with speculation about the Petraeus report. You don't need to be part of that.
Of course not. We know what the report's going to say for reasons better left off dead.
Mm-hmm.
But C-41, this is exactly the kind of thing Carl used to put a stop to before he reached the starter's gun. On his resignation, it's still warm, and already we're losing what little message discipline we had left. And now Tony Snow's leaving.
Yeah, heard about that.
Yeah.
He's to make some real money for his kids, huh?
Yeah, guess so. Mm. I told him a couple of times, you want to make real money, go talk to Dick Cheney. But I guess he wants to do it in the so-called civilian sector. So there's another one off the boat, out the door and into the car.
Well, it happens to us all, 43. Every single two-term president has gone through something like this.
Yeah.
Wouldn't know myself, of course. Maybe something to be grateful for, missing the long twilight of a two-term presidency.
Hey, I'm still on the line here.
No, I know. I'm just saying, there's a sort of yin and a yang in everything, as the Chinese like to say.
Yeah, well, I don't know about the Chinese, but I do know there's no yin in sin.
Suppose not.
Getting so bad, 41, I'm sitting here. I'm sitting here hoping Hurricane Dean hits Texas. So I can go out and lead the response. You know, that's not right.
No, I know, but it's an understanding.
I mean, I've already done hurricane response.
Mm-hmm.
How about a new challenge, you know? God forbid, a typhoon or a cyclone or something.
43, you got 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
You got the bully puppet. You got a rump group of Republicans in the Congress who will still take your calls. These are all gifts.
Why am I giving them as gifts?
Gifts to you. Use them. Don't return them. No, you didn't ask for advice, but there it was. Hope it helps.
You know what would help more?
What's that?
If the person on the other end of this phone was Carl. Nothing personal.
Never was.
Just to hear him, you know, one more time say, Mr. President, I don't think you want to do that. That's all I want, but... Gotta pull myself together. Got brush to clear. See, that's it right there. The magic is even going out of clearing brush.
Well, all right, son. No, it's gonna all work out.
In the long twilight of my presidency.
Sometimes even twilights can be beautiful. Barr says hello.
Yeah. When?
When she sees people she knows. Take care of 43.
Bye, 41.
Dinner at 8, that sounds fine. Suppose it means we'll turn up around 9. Bought a bunch of flowers just for her. She says the burden's on the receiver. I opened the door and you walked in. The scent of wild jasmine. The room seemed to freeze in time. My regular table will be just fine. Radiant and elegant you might be, but your concentration is so golightly. Both of your eyes reflecting the moon. You really think you own the room. What game shall we play today? How about the one where you don't get your way? But even if you do, that's okay. So what game shall we play today? How about the one where you don't get your way? But even if you do, that's okay.
that's okay. Try to pick it up, reading the signs. It's turning out to be a real good time. Who'd have thought that entertainment lies in the winter of your discontent? Now, sit at the table, face to face. Queen takes pawn, check on checkmate. I feel your foot brush against my leg. Not that easily laid. You flutter your eyes and you toss your hair. I have to say that it is kind of unfair. Now, let me tell you, baby, now what's in store. You win the battle, but I'll win the war. What game shall we play today? How about the one where you don't get your way? Even if you do, that's okay. So what game shall we play today? How about the one where you don't get your way? But even if you do, that's okay. Although my feelings are all juxtaposed, but the truth be told, I'm as fickle as hell. But gentlemen, never kiss and tell. So what game shall we play today? How about the one where you don't get your way? Even if you do, that's okay. So what game shall we play today? How about the one where you don't get your way? But even if you do, that's okay.
Now in the waning moments of the show, ladies and gentlemen, news from outside the bubble. Let's make the wane wax, shall we? See if you can see a familiarity to these stories. Three stories, three different newspapers from Britain this week. Two conservative, one on the liberal side, from the Sunday Telegraph conservative. When America's top commanders in Iraq held a conference with their British counterparts recently, Britain's senior officer in Basra, Major General Jonathan Shaw, was quick to share his views on how to conduct counterinsurgency operations. For much of the last 4 years, the Americans in the room would have listened carefully, used to deferring to their British colleagues' long experience in Northern Ireland. This time, however, eyes that once would have been attentive simply rolled. Few were in the mood for a lecture about British superiority when they feared that Downing Street's planned pullout from Basra will squander any progress from their own hard-fought surge. Quote, "It's insufferable, for Christ's sake," unquote, one senior figure closely involved in U.S. military planning. The guys were just rolling their eyeballs. The notorious Northern Ireland came up again. It's pretty frustrating. It would be okay if he was best in class, but now he's worst in class. Everybody else's area is getting better, and his is getting worse, unquote, the Telegraph. From the Times, owned by Rupert Murdoch, I didn't bring that one. Oh, yes, I did. A military advisor to President Bush has warned that British forces will have to fight their way out of Iraq in an ugly and embarrassing retreat. Stephen Biddle, who advises the U.S. commander in Iraq, said Iranian-backed Shiite militias in the south would try to create the impression they were forcing the retreat. Some British officers believe they are facing a humiliating retreat under fire to Kuwait. I regret to say that the Basra experience is set to become a major blunder in terms of military history, says a senior British officer. The insurgents are calling the shots and, in a worst-case scenario, will chase us out of southern Iraq. From the Independent, senior military commanders have told the government that Britain can achieve, quote, nothing more in southeast Iraq, and that the 5,500 British troops still deployed there should move towards withdrawal without further delay. And an update on notorious British teeth. By 2012, Britons will be spending more than £1 billion, that's $2 billion a year, on cosmetic dentistry, according to a new report. The boom is fueled by an increasing obsession with Hollywood smiles that is luring new entrants, such as Main Street drug chains and beauticians, into the market. People come in clutching pictures of actors, says Phil Stemmer of the Fresh Breath Clinic in London. The value of cosmetic dental treatments in the UK is estimated to have rocketed by almost 150% during the last year. One in three Brits would like whiter smiles, they say. British teeth, ladies and gentlemen, a joke of the past, because I read news from outside the bubble for you. With the song in my heart. Well, that's going to conclude this edition of Le Show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations over NPR worldwide throughout Europe, on the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network, up and down the east coast of North America via the shortwave giant WBCQ, the planet. Around the world through the facilities of the internet, whenever you want it, at two different locations, live and archived, harryshearer.com and kcrw.com. Available on the big 104 in Berlin at Sirius and XM satellite radios, and available as a free download at www.audible.com/LeShow, and available as a free podcast at kcrw.com. And it would be just like me being on your computer at an entirely different location where the videos from my new CD, Songs Pointed and Pointless, are available on a weekly basis at www.mydamnchannel.com, with Connect the Dots premiering this Tuesday. It would be like that happening if you'd agree to join with me then. Would you? Alrighty, thank you very much. Uh-huh. The email address for the show is available via the Harry Shearer website, harryshearer.com, where you can also get playlists for this broadcast, like the song that I'm talking over the vocal of right now, which I shouldn't be doing. I hear it say, oh, I put the wrong disc in the machine, didn't I? Yes, I did. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as, say it with me now, we have about 9 seconds to do it, the home of the homeless. Well done.